producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
I'm Doug Steffen, family farmer, lifelong, when I describe myself, sometimes people get a chuckle out of what I've done. The important thing for the purposes of this program, even though I've done lots of other things in my life, run a lot of different businesses, I've been around cows all my life. I've had three, I suppose in a way we could describe them as quasi-successful farming operations. I've just done it in the wrong places, that's all. I've tried to be a dairy farmer in places where the land was way too valuable, and so it hasn't always left the best taste in my mouth. But that doesn't take away from me loving the animals and loving the people who want to help them and farmers in general, because generally speaking, the state of agriculture in our country is pretty sick. And that's why I started to do this program, because I wanted to help family farmers, hobby farmers, with solutions to problems that we all encounter. And so this week, I've invited Rachel Carter to spend some time with us. She's a homesteader in Plainfield, Vermont. She's the communication director for the Vermont Farm to Plate Organization, a statewide initiative that has been legislatively directed to increase economic development and agricultural job sector in Vermont, improving access to healthy local food for Vermonters. There's a 10-year plan to strengthen the working landscape to build the resilience of farms there and food enterprises. The locavore movement, Rachel, is something that's very close to my heart, and it sounds like it's very close to yours, because you've taken what is clearly one of your passions. And in general, before we talk about the specifics of what I wanted you to explain to folks, this whole lifelong love affair with yours, did it start on the farm? Are you a farm girl?
Not a farm girl. I grew up with a family that did a lot of homesteading and a lot of putting up of their own food and had started gardening from a young age. So I would say it was coming more from a gardening perspective, although we did grow up in the country and had a lot of friends with farms.
So has it bothered you the last few years as you see increasing threats to hobby farmers, to people that just want to have a garden, to some of the small family farms, the threats that come from the big seed companies that want to control the seed? Remember last year, I think it was, that there was legislation that had been proposed or a rulemaking process to try to keep people from even having boxes around their houses where they could grow vegetables. This is anathema to most people who think about food freedom, but yet it is something that has been discussed, and it's troublesome. I wonder what you thought about that.
I think it's a threat in general that people do not have the control to make local decisions and to have to rely on a national system that quite clearly is broken.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that caught my attention about you, I read all of the farm magazines, the newspapers, the things that those of us who love to have agriculture as a handle, I came across something that you wrote, an analysis of landfills and how with the waste that we do, we throw away incredible amounts of food and other things. So I thought we'd take this this article that you wrote for Small Farm Quarterly that was in the Country Folks newspaper that comes out every week to folks around in the Northeast, anyways, the edition I saw. You focus on the progress and what else is needed to help the state of Vermont, anyway, reach a couple of specific farm-to-plate goals. And the reason that I want to use your idea is because I think people all around the country who are listening to this program could benefit from your idea, because after all, that's what we're best at, right? It's coming up with ideas. So explain how this would work, would you please?
Well, when it comes from taking food out of the landfills, Vermont is very unique that they passed what's called the Universal Recycling Law back in 2012, which is really to remove organic materials out of the landfills. And there's a whole bunch of different organizations who, you know, from the waste haulers to food rescue organizations who have kind of come together through the Farm to Plate initiative to determine a hierarchy of how that's going to work. Ultimately, it's, you know, to use less and to use through education programs, encourage folks to, you know, to really reduce consumption use. But from there, taking that food and seeing how food can be rescued from the farm before it even gets to that point. How can food that's perfectly edible be repurposed so that it can be used to feed especially more vulnerable populations? And from that hierarchy, you know, can more folks be composting, and how can that become much more of a system around the state? And moving down to, you know, then the food that doesn't get used for, that's perfectly edible and safe, that's used for food consumption, and if it doesn't get used for composting, can it then be used for anaerobic digesters, which is a new energy, you know, growing energy form.
How much of that do you have, Rachel, in Vermont? How many farms are involved in this sort of energy production? This is fascinating, I think, to a lot of people.
There are quite a few farms. I don't have a specific number in front of me as to how many, but there's a farm, for instance, in Bridport, which is Blue Spruce Farm, and they were kind of the folks that were behind the whole cow power movement in Vermont, and they worked directly with Vermont's largest utility company, Green Mountain Power, to produce, you know, from manure to produce electricity that goes right into the power grid. There's a huge anaerobic digester that's been built at Vermont Technical College in Randolph, and that's taking all sorts of food waste from big companies, from, you know, beer waste. A beer so popular in Vermont, all of that beer waste is going into this digester to produce electricity as well.
I use the beer grain to feed my cows. I give there's a brewery in my town, and they have brewer's grain. We have tubs and tubs and tubs of it, and cows love it. Mix it with the other feed. But it's an organic product, and you can just dump it easily. I can see how it would work in this area, in this arena, very well. We're having a conversation with Rachel Carter, who works in an area of Vermont farming that helps to implement ideas. She is the communication director for Vermont Farm to Plate. We continue our conversation on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
I recently received a letter from my town government requiring me to make an appointment to let tax inspectors tour my home. Not just the outside, but the inside of my home. It made me angry. Many people just assume the government has whatever authority it claims, but I know that the Bill of Rights protects me against such searches without a warrant issued with probable cause that I'm a criminal. Looking through the lens of liberty, I said no. It turned out, of course, that there was no such law, and the town backed down, but only because someone questioned it. We the people need to constantly resist these endless little intrusions that slowly chip away our liberty. Remember, freedom doesn't begin in the White House. It begins in my house and yours.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
Watching the game again. I thought you were booking our vacation hotel.
Done.
What?
We're staying at America's Best Value Inn, and I scored a triple play when I joined their free value club.
Really?
You get 15% off, a room upgrade, and late checkout when available, plus free Wi-Fi and continental breakfast at most of their 1,000 hotels.
Wow, that really is a slam dunk.
Home run, honey. I think you mean home run.
Score big this summer at America's Best Value Inn at ABVI.com.
Every summer we go to Canyon Woods. Love getting outside. Love the hiking. Hate the itching and irritation from poison ivy, bug bites, all the things that keep me inside. So I need something strong.
Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing is clinically proven with the strongest non-prescription itch medicine available for fast, long-lasting relief of itching and irritation with 7 moisturizers to help heal skin.
I finally have the relief I need.
Hey, Jan, check this out.
On my way.
Cortisone 10. Feel the heal.
Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer, aimed at solving problems that farmers have, small family farmers, the hobbyists, people who are into the locavore movement in Vermont, as an example, is taking recycling and waste reduction to a new level with a recycling law that was passed pretty much unanimously a couple of years ago, right? There was no, I mean, Vermont is such a great dairy state. I would love to have a dairy farm there if it wasn't so damn cold much of the time. It's a beautiful, beautiful state and perfect for this sort of thing. So you were explaining to us how taking this food or anything that's organic and compostable could be used to create a recycling of the energy. There's been a lot of talk about methane gas, and that's part of the byproduct here. What else does this particular initiative do? And we're giving ideas to people other parts of the country. Maybe you have the same sort of problem, and this is a way for you to address it. So what else is coming out of this initiative, Rachel?
Well, I mean, I think with the farmers and kind of speaking about the composting and about the food rescue, there's two opportunities for them. I mean, farmers can look and see where there might be gleaning opportunities in their state, and that's the rescue of food directly from the farm that, again, you know, cannot be sold, sold in regular stores. But then there's also becoming opportunities with composting, and can, you know, there's a compost operation here that's a big compost operation, but they have a small farm. I think there's other opportunities for, you know, larger farms to potentially look at having small compost operations where they serve a local production for local use type of model where restaurants and other waste generators can bring that compost, and it can be an additional source of revenue for farms to grow, you know, a composting type of operation. I think that's a bigger opportunity, especially as potentially more states look at what they're going to do with their waste.
And this is pretty simple stuff. I mean, this is not, I'm thinking about on the farm where I grew up, we used to grow a lot of potatoes. And when we would go out and pick them in the fall, there were a lot of, either they got cut by the little potato digger, or there were blemishes on them, or there's a little bit of rot on them. And we'd chuck them. Actually, we fed them to the cows. Cows love potatoes. But in this example that you're coming forth with, either feed them to the cows that comes out the other end anyway, or you take that sort of waste or supermarket waste. We used to feed all the soup. We go around to the stores and pick up all the garbage, and we cook it and feed it to the pigs. It's that sort of thing that we're talking about here, right?
Right. It's really looking at the whole cycle of the food system and putting things back in. But before, you know, if you have a huge potato crop that's not potentially useful, instead of giving it all to the cows, you know, can some of it be gleaned for food for human consumption? Then can it go to cows? Then can it go to compost? So that, is there some sort of cycle of how that can be used to meet a few different demands?
How is the differentiation made? If it's not good enough to put in the store to sell, but yet it's good enough for people to eat, then I wasn't clear on that. On that part of the equation, how is that separated food before it goes to the landfill, or in this case, we don't want it to go to the landfill, but it gets used for energy? How does it get to that secondary market?
Well, that's one of the things that's unique about Vermont and the Farm to Plate initiative is we bring all of the parties to the table to look at these big system changes that need to happen that are not going to happen by one organization alone. And so we have the charitable food organizations communicating directly with technical service providers on the farms to come up with, and the waste haulers to come up with what might work. And so here we've got the Vermont Food Bank runs a really unique program where they work with the gleaning organizations. They take the food that, you know, might be bruised or partially damaged but still has edible parts, and they actually use your workforce development opportunities where they're training young underserved populations to learn how to handle and process food, and then they process that food into soups or frozen foods that then go into the school district.
What a great, great idea. The 400,000 pounds of that stuff gets donated every year. All right, so you can go to vtfarmtoplate.com and see this story that was originally published in the Small Farm Quarterly. Rachel Carter is Communications Director for the Vermont Farm to Plate Initiative. Rachel, thank you for being here on the American Family Farmer.
More More and more people are discovering the incredible benefits of alkalizing the body, and there's no better product for it than AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds, just a few drops in water will rid your body of harmful waste and give you more vibrance and vigor than you've had in years. Now buy two bottles and get $10 off your order. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993 today.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Three after the hour. This is my way of helping the American family farmer. That's what the radio program is called, The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, an American family farmer, the hobby farmer, the people who have a connection, the ag, small ag businesses, all are my focal point when it comes to presenting food for thought, ways to help you figure out how to solve the problems that family farmers have. It's kind of cool to watch young and not so young people from farm families when there are I guess I'm thinking more about some of the fall events, late summer and fall. We have all of those great the Eastern States Exposition, shall we say, or all of that type of thing with the big fairs and the exhibits and things that present what is going on so many of our farms. And one of the things that I see now, younger, there are children involved in this. Not that that hasn't always been the case, but I think more I see young women being involved. And I think that's why I think American agriculture will be in good hands as we move forward. There are a lot of people that are naysayers, doom and gloomers, that say, oh, the big companies are ruining the small farms. To a point, that's true. And more to the point, government regulations and things that are foolish get in the way of us being able to survive. But the younger, the movement among those who want to help people understand where the food comes from, help maybe get them to the farm to help them grow and benefit that way. The seeds of knowledge that are coming from farm mothers and fathers, the training that's being done for their children. Remember the days, I remember this, my father did not run the farm. I sort of was adopted by a farm family, and that's how I learned my sensitivity to the cows. I learned how to run machinery, bale hay, grow corn, do the things that are necessary on a dairy farm. But I learned by doing around some great, great people. There are a lot of people that are going to school now. There's some great agricultural schools all over the country. Whether it's the A&M colleges down in Stevensville, Texas, whether it's the University of Vermont, whether it's Cornell, there are a lot of great ag schools. Look at Ohio State. There are lots of people going to school, getting a college degree to learn how to be farmers. So when you don't have that and you have mothers and fathers, though, they can train you, bringing children up the way that they ought to be, I was alluding to something that was a part of the landscape when I was a kid. The number of children that the farm parents would have was what predicated how many they decided they want. 4 kids, 3 kids, 5 kids was how much help they needed on the farm, because the children that came out of the parents were aimed at working the farm. That's why we have the schedule in our school system that we do. Kids supposed to be out of school in June so they can work on the farm for the summer, go back to school in the fall. That's where that all came from. So going back to what I vividly recall, talking about generating the kinds of things on the farm, we had everything. We did everything on the farm. We grew potatoes and vegetables, and we had cows and sold the milk and whatever you could do, had fruit. It was one of those things. It was a great experience. Now I see a lot of people coming along that are smarter than I was or we were about farming, learning more in a theoretical sense, and then they're learning how to apply it. And so I would encourage that. That's the kind of stuff that we need to encourage to keep younger people, because the average age of the average farmer in our country is like 65 years old. Not healthy, not good. Let's keep considering and encouraging young people to be interested in staying on the farm or coming to the farm. Make it easy for them. That's at least a part of what I'm thinking here when it comes to the future of farms. More in the next half hour of the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Terrifying thought. You're trapped somewhere without a radio and no access to GCN shows, a doctor's office, the DMV, your mother-in-law's.
Come on, stay for dinner.
That's what makes the newly redesigned GCN Live app a true lifesaver. Listen to your favorite GCN hosts and programming on your smartphone, wherever you are. Download yours free on iTunes or Google Play. The new GCN Live app. Don't leave home without it.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. ExtendoVite is a garlic cayenne supplement with 5 other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then ExtendoVite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why ExtendoVite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past 2 years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up the 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, continuing with our hour-long weekly watch, our listen. The post that I have on my farm is it's a sort of like stand on top of the hill, if you will, and look down. This is a figurative word playing here a little bit, because I want you to understand what it is that I find so fascinating about the agricultural world. It's tough work. It's something that I think those people, those of us who have been around the farm all of our lives, we get the rewards. They aren't monetary for the most part. I mean, sometimes they are. It depends on what you're doing with your farm. Some are more rewarding than others. Let's put it that way. I've invited a gentleman to come with us in this next few minutes who has ideas about how to energize your farm. That's the theme of this week's program. We were talking earlier about how to take good waste and reuse it. Part of the waste can be to create energy. How many of you have thought about solar powering your farm? It's not as difficult. I've been looking at this for 10, 12, 14 years, trying to figure out how to do it on my farm. I've had every cockamamie scheme, every salesman, and you probably have too. Anybody who's got any land, these people come along and they want to promise you the moon and deliver squat. They're all full of, my father used to say, full of old shoes. But this, the fellow they have with us now is Ed Duquette. He is a gentleman that has looked at all of this. He's got a background in engineering, as I understand it, Ed. And you teach at several colleges. And one of the focuses you have is aquaponics. I have to make sure that we get that right, because there are aquaponics and there's agroponics. You have an expertise based on what? Your own experience, or did you go to school for this?
Well, actually, my engineering background is where it falls into. Most of the technology used on it is pumping and hydraulics, and that's basically my background, is a lot of electronics and control. So the whole system basically is controlled electronically or electrically, if you want to say. And that's where my background is. My background actually got me interested in this because I like growing. And I investigated, and I couldn't find enough good information or books that actually gave you, you know, really detailed information. And so that's what I did, is I started researching and buying books and taking courses and then kind of rewriting it. And then I submitted a course to two of these local colleges. and they accepted it, and it's been very successful. A lot of people interested in it, and hopefully I'm helping a lot of people get the bugs out.
Well, I think that's sort of what it's all about, and engineering is part of it. I noticed that you moved to Salt Lake City. How is life different there than when you lived in Connecticut?
Oh, it's a big difference. We've been out here about 9 years. We actually live in Eagle Mountain, which is a little bit further from Salt Lake.
But yeah, I know Eagle Mountain.
5,000 elevation.
Yeah, it's very high. It's nosebleed time when you go up to some of those those mountains. I've been there a number of times. I have a great friend who lives in Salt Lake, and it's a neat area. So let's talk about solar powering one's farm. And with that, obviously, goes the adaptability for the home on the home farm. Why is this a good time to be thinking about this for the farmer?
Well, actually, if you look at what the government's offering right now as far as rebates, and a lot of states are offering it, it's probably the best time to get your foot in the door to solar. Technology is moving very quickly, so the more systems, basically as more systems are being sold, the faster technology is being developed. It's still got a way off to be a really good alternative, but I mean, for some of the applications on farms, solar would be, you know, it's an awesome idea to be able to do it. It's just that the salesmen out there, I mean, burning a lot of people, and they get a little scared about it.
Yeah. Well, they're fast talking. Like, I told you, car salesmen. That's what it is. When these guys would come around to talk to me, well, you know, my barns at one of the farms doesn't face in quite the right way, so let's put it out in the pasture. I said, okay, if you put it in the pasture, I want it to be usable for shelter for the cows. Oh, well, we can't do that. Why can't you do it? Well, because it's too expensive. Hey, many of these people are trying to get you to do solar and put up a lot of panels so that they can sell the excess electricity, make some money, you make some money. That's fine. But I think what we're talking about, Ed, in certain terms, is how the solar panels can be used to benefit the farm first in terms of electricity needs. Then, if the excess can be sold off, that's a benefit as well. Am I right?
Right, but you got to look at also the excess being sold off. There's a lot of legislation right now with a lot of the utility companies. They're not too happy about that because, you know, the basis of electricity on each area, say there's 40,000 people in that area, they base their rates on that. If you start subtracting that, they're not making as much profit. So they're going to find all kinds of surcharges they can add on to the basic rate, kind of offsets really what you're getting out of solar. So that's why I recommend in the class when we do solar, we kind of isolate what we really want to do with the solar at your home, and you make yourself independent and don't look for the money right now because it might be coming now in a little bit, but it might end. We don't really know yet. It's still kind of new. And I know in Europe, Germany is one of the leaders in solar, but it's a profit maker right now. So they,
for the farm, you're saying
profit on selling solar.
It's a profit maker for the farms.
Yeah, the farms. They'll actually come to you and they'll give you a free system and they hook it up and, you power your farm for free. But then with the extra they put in your home or on your barn or your property, mm-hmm. they sell. That's how they make their money.
Right. And so
we don't do that here.
No, we don't. Why don't we? I guess is the question. Why don't we? Are the power companies so big, they've all become so consolidated like much of other American business. So in this sense, they're trying to command and keep their stockholders happy by influencing legislation. Just look, when you see some of this legislation, you look at the members of the various committees that are responsible for cooking up the legislation, always look to see where the money came from, campaign contributions. And if it's this kind of stuff, you can be sure that every single one of the people involved in the business of creating electricity or energy have contributed mightily and heavily to the candidacy of those people that will support their interests. That's just the way it works. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not just because you, Ed Duquette, can't write a check for $150,000 for Joe Blow's congressional campaign. But I'm sure NSTAR can, and so can National Grid or any of these other companies, right?
You're right, right. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but that's true.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, we're talking with Ed Duquette, who is an engineer, focusing on solar powering your farm and how much easier it is for you to consider now. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
I recently received a letter from my town government requiring me to make an appointment to let tax inspectors tour my home. Not just the outside, but the inside of my home. It made me angry. Many people just assume the government has whatever authority it claims, but I know that the Bill of Rights protects me against such searches without a warrant issued with probable cause that I'm a criminal. Looking through the lens of liberty, I said no. It turned out, of course, that there was no such law, and the town backed down, but only because someone questioned it. We the people need to constantly resist these endless little intrusions that slowly chip away our liberty. Remember, freedom doesn't begin in the White House. It begins in my house and yours.
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
It's been 10 years since the Allstate Foundation launched its Teen Safe Driving Program. Allstate Executive Vice President of Product Operation, Steve Sorensen.
Since 2005, the Allstate Foundation's Teen Safe Driving Program has contributed to a 48% reduction in teen fatalities, and we'd like to see that number get lower.
As they embark on the next 10 years, the foundation took a look at the current attitudes and behaviors of teen drivers.
We found that teens are more aware of the risks that they face on the road, but it hasn't necessarily led to a change in their behavior and how they drive.
For instance, teens admit driving with passengers is distracting. Still, 93% say they do it. 60% admit using a phone while driving, and 45% admit they've driven under the influence. So what is the best way to keep our kids safe?
Teens tell us that the parents are the number one influencer in terms of how they drive. So put the seatbelt on. Follow the speed limit when you're driving. And limit the distraction. So limit the number of kids that are in the car with your teen and tell them to put the technology down.
For more tips, go to allstatefoundation.org.
Do you really floss after you brush? Well, if you don't, you're not alone. I'm Risa Jill Miller. According to a new Harris poll for the American Academy of Periodontology, or AAP, more than a quarter of U.S. adults lie to their dentists about how often they floss. Dr. Joan Otomo Cordial, AAP President.
In addition to flossing once a day, the AAP recommends brushing your teeth and below the gums twice a day and getting a comprehensive periodontal evaluation to screen for periodontal disease, which can cause bad breath or lead to more serious symptoms such as tooth loss.
The survey also shows a third of Americans would rather do an unpleasant activity, like wash dirty dishes or clean toilets, than floss. How can we take action?
The good news is, with timely and proper care, gum disease is treatable and often reversible. A periodontist has the training and expertise to help determine the right treatment.
And more than a third say a smile's the first thing they notice when meeting someone they're attracted to. So love the gums you're with and log on to perio.org to find a periodontist near you.
Continuing now on the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen, here with Edward Duquette, who is a farm guy, been with he and his wife and their children working in Utah. He teaches classes through continuing ed. The programmer, the focus is on his engineering background, and recently he wrote an article entitled Off the Grid with Solar and Wind Power, How to Power Your Farm and How Much Easier It Is. And that's what we're talking about, how people get started with this, what their expectations are. Should every farmer be doing this, Ed?
I think at this point right now, it would be probably the best time if you want to get into solar to start. You don't have to go, like, you know, try to power the whole farm by it, but you can do, lighting in barns. You could do circulation pumps. You could do fans in greenhouses. Even water pumping can be done with solar. So you can do a smaller system. And there's a lot of companies out there that sell kind of do-it-yourself packages that you can do. And you could save. I mean, usually the most cost on solar is insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you add a salesman on there, then you have to add his commission. But if you can do it yourself, and most of these systems now are being designed that you can. You could save 50-60% from what you would have to pay if you went through, you know, a salesman in another and a company.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think right now it would be the best time to start. You have to look at your requirements. There's a couple of websites that you can go to that would help you design your system. They're very easy softwares that they offer for free, and you could pretty much lay out your whole system yourself, and they offer the parts You try to stay away from any Chinese manufacturers right now because the components, some of the components are good, not all of them are bad, but there's a lot of American-made inverters that converts the low voltage to 110, 115.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of American-made inverters, and you have to try to stay as close as you can to here right now, because the it's a big market. There's a lot of money being made, and there's a lot of stuff out there that the quality is really not up to par. So you're going to have to spend, you don't want to spend too much money, but you don't want to buy junk and then regret it a year or 2 years later.
Absolutely not. So putting it up yourself, do you still get the same credits for doing this, whether you put it up or have somebody professionally install it? Does it make a difference?
It depends on the state. I know in Utah, the utility companies will offer you money back if you install it. You have to meet their requirements. Some states require that you have a minimum kilowatt. I mean, you couldn't do like a little system. You'd have to do a minimum kilowatt system to be able to get the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't go over that because then they start reducing the credits. But you really should, what you do is you get the whole of your local utilities and they'll kind of help you through. But I would also go to the state and ask them what they have. And then the government websites are really helpful to tell you what they have also and the limitations and the requirements. But in most states right now, yeah, you can get your rebates back.
Mm-hmm. So this is something, a lot of farmers aren't making any money, so it either saves them money in terms of their own bill or maybe gives them the opportunity to make a little bit of money. But don't kid yourself. These companies are not going to want you to make a whole lot of money. But they're going to have to in some way, shape, or form because the solar movement's not going to go away. The wind movement isn't going to go away. That stuff's not going to go away. But it's just you have to be smart and figure it out. And the biggest challenge is to find somebody that you can trust who's going to sell you a system that will be in your best interest. Because, I mean, I look at some of these pictures of the barns. It's pretty much one way or the other. They put them on the roof of the barn, as long as it's facing in the right direction for the sun. If you don't have a barn or a house that's facing the right direction, then you'll put up the panels on sort of a stand, for lack of a better. What would you call the platforms that they use to put the solar panels on that are their own separate and distinct, not building, but complex?
Well, they have it called trackers. They actually track the sun.
Mm-hmm.
They
move with the sun.
And then you have a problem depending on the winters. I know now in New England, you guys are having a really hard winter.
Yeah.
We're up there. We're 55 degree weather and very little snow. And so we're not suffering, but some of the trackers will freeze up. And anything mechanical, see, the solar panels are electronic, so they don't really have wear on them. But anything mechanical will wear. So you start adding in anything mechanical in the system, that's where you start having, you know, failure and a lot of problems. So sometimes what you have to do is just make you make yourself a stand or a tripod where you can hold the solar panel in position. And it's not always the best. It's the most, you're going to get, efficiency is the biggest problem with solar right now. So if you track, your efficiency goes up 20-30%. If you don't track the sun, then your efficiency is, you're minus. So there's a lot to it, Each system has its own little quirky operational problems.
Yeah. But it's well worth your time to investigate. So send people to a website, Ed, that you think is valuable. Where can people go to get a thumbnail sketch of this and then to figure out what action they need to take after they understand what the primary preliminary information is, the info, the primer, if you will.
I have a great one, and this one will help you with the calculations of what you need for batteries and inverters. It's called freesunpower.com.
freesunpower.com. Something to look up. Everybody who's got a farm, freesunpower.com. Edward Duquette, thank you for being here to share your engineering expertise and the valuable information that you've gleaned from looking into the solar power industry as to how it will help the American family farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
twice as nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Have you ever wondered if you could make electric, light, or heat in your home for free? How about a motor that charges batteries at the same time? What if this also restores useless batteries and saves you lots of money? Come to our Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on August 15th and 16th in Fort Lauderdale. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-304-2954. 208-304-2954.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Now, Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer, aimed at helping out family farms, the hobby farmer, the folks who are up against it in a number of ways, or at least maybe you think you're up against it. I was talking earlier, and I want to underscore what I think is an opportunity for us to be very optimistic about what's going on in agriculture. I'm not happy about the influence of the big ag conglomerates, but there are many of you that have your living tied to being connected to them. So now you just have to figure out how to make it good for you, how to be smart. And bringing people into the world, bringing up your family, exposing them to what's going on the farm, bringing about their understanding of the goodness of the farm. And this is all a mindset. We're inundated every day, all day long, with messages, 3,000 some odd messages a day. The average American sees billboards, television, radio, newspapers, buy this, do that, go here. It's crazy how much stuff when you are looking at your smartphone, things, there's ads all over the place there. So that sort of distraction brings a lot of people away from the farm. How many of you know as well as I do, that there are a lot of people who grew up on farms don't want to have anything to do with it until the time it comes time for dad to die, and then we want to sell the land and make the money that we can. Maybe there's a holdout in the family that wants to. I was talking to a man here in Massachusetts the other day who has a farm, 110, 120 acres, and his father died, and he has three sisters and two brothers, if I'm not mistaken. He wants to keep the farm going. One of his brothers wants to keep the farm going. Rest of them all with the cash. Because there's like 18 house lots on this property. It's worth a couple million bucks. So each one of them get $500,000. That's what they want. They don't give a damn about the farm. They don't care. They grew up there. They've all moved away. So the two guys who are here trying to save the farm, and by the way, both of them have children. This is not a farm that you can make full time, but many of the hours that are spent working are hours that are spent by these youngsters that like to work on the tractors and like to work in the soil and the land. So there are those people that do exist, but all too often people have seen the work, they've experienced the work, and we have, let's face it, in America today, we have the easy way out crowd. Not everybody, but there are a lot of people who just think it's easier for you not to have to work hard, and maybe people think it's smarter. I don't like working hard. I think you can work hard and work smart at the same time, but a lot of people just say, oh, no, it's too much work, it's too dirty, there's not enough money in it, yada, yada. So they're leaving the farm, and they're leaving their parents, and they're leaving what could be something very satisfactory. Well, okay, so then what do we do? Well, we find somebody. I'm doing this on my farm. My children is not critical of them. My children are not interested in the farm. Well, they don't live here. My farm's in Massachusetts. They live in California. Not much going to happen there. But I've come across a couple. He in his early 40s. I think she's in her mid to late 30s. Have a child. They started an operation about 12 years ago that is now aimed. It's expanding. They're growing all kinds of local produce. And I'm thinking of renting out some of the facilities at my main farm and having them operate it and do their thing. But they're young. They're smart. They both come from other careers. I think one of them was an academic. The other one was an engineer, if I'm not mistaken. And so they've come around to believing that the farm is the way of life that they want. And some refer to them as the granola crowd. Okay, so maybe maybe that's okay. But under the circumstances, what I'm trying to do is encourage you to think about being open to other people. If your family doesn't want to stay in the farm, there are young people who are dynamic. They want to lead. They see the opportunity. But you got to encourage them to educate themselves. 20% of today's farmers started farming in the last 9 years. In the quest for higher efficiency, better profit, the next generation of farmers are relying on technology far beyond what I ever knew or the people who taught me how to farm knew. It just is the way it is. Agriculture is increasingly being taken over by people who have college diplomas, maybe advanced degrees anywhere. The fellow we had on earlier talking, he was an engineer, talking about how to use solar to power your farm. Brilliant. This is the thing that everybody ought to be doing. Power your farm with solar, wind, whatever you can do that's an alternative. That's the way to go, it seems to me. Go to a website called agcareers.com, and you'll see the agribusiness job report and figure out where the opportunities are and where things can go for you in terms of take a little bit at a time, but how do we get the farm kids to either stay or find smarter children that can take over the farm? I think that's one of the main issues that faces family farmers today, and I hope I've given you some good ideas. That's my job. I'm Doug Steffen, the host of this weekly program called The American Family Farmer, aimed at helping those of you who are hobbyists, family farmers in the family ag business, to make life better and your business more profitable.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.